God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
Well, the God of the universe created the world. He didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. He spoke. God said, let there be light. And because we believe, we speak about the happenings in this world, mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And yes, welcome to A Disciple's View. There is a war, a psychological war, which is in fact, of course, a spiritual war. And that war is on many fronts. One of them most now obvious is a war against truth and stating the truth. We saw this during the installation of the COVID lockdown policies, which were a lie. They never had a chance to stop the virus, and the people who instituted them all knew that. They know it to this day. They always knew it. They knew masks didn't work, but people were fired for speaking truth, and some careers were ruined. In this segment, we're going to talk about truth and the punishments people face for speaking truth. And in fact, the punishments that innocents faced by someone who was conned into believing a lie and then living that lie out to a horrible conclusion. In the UK, as in New York, as in DC, as in Seattle, there were protests by people, many of whom have been imported into our country and have no desire whatsoever to be any form of American in any way, shape, matter, idea, faction, or form. They have simply no desire to be that. They're forming separate countries within our borders. This is by design. It is part of a cultural revolution that is designed to tear this world apart, to create utter chaos so that the people who are power brokers can say, oh gosh, we can fix it, but we'll need more control. We may need digital IDs, digital identities, and some social credit scoring, and some ways just to make sure that you're safe, because unless we're all safe, no one is safe. So let's again make us the safest, most secure country in the world. Safest, most secure, safe and effective lies. We, of course, on this program, do everything we can to be in the world and not of it. That is, to not be transformed by the things of this world. So as we talk through these issues, I beg you to remain prayerful that we can respond with our emotions. God gave us these emotions, and let us not be, though, transformed into any form of hatred. Because, oh, the enemy would love that. I'm sure you saw the guy in New York City climb up a flagpole, rip down the flag of the United States, and replace it with a pro-Hamas flag. He has no interest in being an American. I'm sure you saw the pro-Hamas rioters attempting to kick in the doors to Grand Central Station where cops had sheltered inside. But understand, that is not an insurrection. That is not something about which we're to be concerned in this war on truth. In London, perhaps you noticed a contrast and compare moment. A family was visited by the London police, the same London police who went and physically grabbed and arrested, not the same officers, but the same force, who arrested an autistic young kid who said that a police officer looked like a lesbian. So they arrested her and physically handled her. That same police force visited another home this past weekend because someone there wrote on social media that trans women are men. So they got a visit. They got interrogated. Meanwhile, oh, by the way, of course, trans women are men. There's no such thing as a trans woman. Meanwhile, there are a series of protests around London. Tens of thousands of people who have formed a separate country within Britain. Is it Syria? Is it Libya? I don't know that it has a name other than Islam, which is in fact a religion of conquest, conquest by immigration. And the bosses at the EU said, you will allow this, accept it, celebrate it, and like it, and you will lie about it, just like people lied about the lockdowns. One woman has chosen not to lie about this, so she has been fired. She was the Home Secretary in England. You could think of that as the Department of Homeland Security chief here, although we don't have one. Well, we have the title, but not the role. Yes, Suelle Braverman was fired for telling the truth.
Immigration, inadequate integration, and a misguided dogma of multiculturalism have proven a toxic combination for Europe over the last few decades. I'm not the first to point this out. In 2010, Angela Merkel gave a speech in which she acknowledged that multiculturalism had utterly failed. And then French President Nicolas Sarkozy and British Prime Minister David Cameron echoed similar sentiments shortly thereafter. Multiculturalism makes no demands of the incomer to integrate. It has failed because it allowed people to come to our society and live parallel lives in it. They could be in the society, but not of the society. And in extreme cases, they could pursue lives aimed at undermining the stability and threatening the security of our society. We are living with the consequence of that failure today. You can see it play out in the streets all over Europe, from Malmo to Paris, Brussels to Leicester. It is 13 years since Merkel gave her speech, and I'm not sure that very much has changed since. If people are not able to settle in our countries and start to think of themselves as British, American, French, or German, then something is going badly wrong. National identity is not something invented in an ivory tower or by advertising executives. The nation state has endured because it means something real to almost all of us, and that is true the world over. Given how much it matters, it must be protected.
That's why it's being torn down. That's why they're using this technique of having people in the country but not of it, which is far different from us being in the world and not of the world, because we are, of course, focused on the eternal souls, not just our own, thank God, but other people's souls. The reason for multiculturalism is the effect of multiculturalism. This is what you are seeing. It started with a mental invasion and now the physical invasion. There is a process to taking down nations, and it starts with prepping the mental environment and then starting the physical confrontation. That's where we're at right now. And God wins. And with every person who comes into our country, we have an opportunity to witness to them to the degree that we can, because truth is not the friend of the enemy. The enemy is not just a liar. He wants to demand that everybody lies. I continue to believe Fox News fired Tucker Carlson because Tucker was telling truths the Murdoch family does not want told. For example, even the Washington Post has had to quietly admit that Tucker told the truth about the Nord Stream pipeline.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again. Then... There will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
How will you do that exactly, since the project and control of the project is within Germany's control?
We will, I promise you, we'll be able to do it.
If Trump had said that, he would have been accused of giving away secrets. And Biden did. Even the Washington Post is saying, yeah, it was Ukraine that did this. It wasn't Ukraine. They can't do anything militarily without us. And speaking of our military, we lost 5 troops on Veterans Day. They were over there supporting the actions in Israel. They're probably being shot at by Iran. See, we're funding both sides of the war. You are paying Iran to attack your troops. We lost 5 troops, but they will not get the status they deserve as combat veterans. The people who run Joe Biden has said that this was a training exercise gone horribly wrong. A training exercise. See, there is a war on truth. You and your financial donations to AFR, your monthly donations, allow us to be relatively uncancelable, so we can analyze in this way and at least offer what I think is true. And there is an eternal truth, wars and rumors of wars, and the biblical nature of anything that involves Israel always has to cue us into the times in which we live. The times in which we live. Fascinating coincidence. The mayor of New York, Eric Adams, the FBI has raided his home and now one of his campaign funders, as I understand. They're investigating campaign collusion with Turkish government and other outside sources to get money for the mayoral effort. Why are they doing this? Figurehead Biden is absolutely obviously owned by foreign sources. Why are they doing this to Eric Adams? What has Eric Adams said recently? Oh, that's right. He spoke truth about immigration. New York is full. They can't handle this. It's breaking the backbone of the city, and it's designed to. In my judgment, that's why they're going after him. After all, you think he's the most corrupt? He's a mayor. We can talk all day long about corruption in D.C. that's not going to get punished. At the AFR top of the hour news, a brief discussion about the release of this manifesto to Steven Crowder, or pictures of it. Crowder's a YouTuber, very talented guy, very successful. I can't agree with everything he does or his approach to everything. On this, I am thankful the manifesto's out, even though it's very, very harmful for the families to hear it. I hope they don't hear it unless they choose to seek it out. A reporter asked Steven Crowder if he was being responsible for releasing the manifesto of the Covington School murderer.
You have only released 3 pages, and I'm wondering if you think that's irresponsible.
Why would that be irresponsible?
Because there isn't a context to it.
What I think is irresponsible is, how long has it been since this shooting?
Roughly, 8 to 9 months?
Yeah, so somewhere between, I think it's late 7, call it 8 months. Okay, who's been involved in this investigation? I mean, not only the PD, right, but you have the FBI involved. These people saying that it's, you know, this information should not get out there. They want this suppressed. But they haven't been able to name any other people of interest with their investigation. And the American public has seen nothing. In this case, this is authentic. This is someone who was deranged. This is someone who was steeped their entire life, it seems. We released what it is that we have. I sincerely don't believe for a second, and I don't think that you do, that any of this would have ever been released if not for what took place today.
And Crowder's clear that he wants to see all of the manifesto released. He wants to see the entire thing released.
I really do hope that someone gets everything. I really do hope that happens, because I would love the dialogue to be based on transparency, but you're not getting it from the FBI or local police department. They're more interested in obfuscating. And that is something that, look, I don't know where you line up politically. I'm very open, transparent about my worldview, especially coming from being a comedian. It doesn't pay to lie about that. I would hope that everyone from all walks, who not even is a journalist themselves, believes in the importance of journalism, sees this as something that needs to change, sees this lack of transparency and a few colluding forces refusing to provide information that could potentially save lives and chart a course for the future, that everyone agrees and says, all right, at a certain point, there can't just be a couple of people at the top of this funnel who control all of this information.
There is a war against truth. Here's a true statement that's inarguable. Putting 400 times the amount of testosterone into the body of a young girl than would ever be there naturally will make her more aggressive. It will change the way her mind works. It will change her ability to handle emotions. When you couple that with the other drugs they give these young people, it's going to change their activities. When you tell them that the world is trying to kill you, when they will not pretend that you are now a boy or a man, you tell them they're attempting to kill you when they don't use your pronouns, you're going to take someone who's been twisted chemically and you're going to take them and make them violent. In all too many cases, they don't always become violent, but it always results in a change in their emotions and how they handle that. That's truth, and it's biologically factual. Imagine this. You're a young girl in a country that does not have access to the Word of God, and you pray that God would give you the things you need. And one day, a box arrives with that very thing in it, but also the Word of God. You will meet such a girl, now a woman, next. I'm Todd Herman. This is A Disciple's View. I'm Todd Herman. This is Disciples View. We so appreciate you. Imagine that you live in a country where you have no access to the word of the Lord, not the Bible, none of it. And you're also in a country that it's risky to even speak of it. And you and your family pray, and one day a shoebox arrives. And in it are the very items you need for which you'd prayed. And there is in it as well a note containing the word of God. Dania Andreos had that occur to her when she was young, a teen, joins us now on the Disciples View with Todd Herman. Dania, welcome to Disciples View. It's Todd Herman.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, but praise you. God bless you for what you're doing at Operation Christmas Child. We'll tell you how you can get involved in this and how you can repeat this experience that Dania had. Can you run us through what that was like, that what your life was like prior to the shoebox and why you were praying? And then I'd love to hear that moment that that box arrived.
Yeah, I come from a country in the Middle East where about 98% of the population were not Christian. So just as you had mentioned earlier, a lot of people there, especially the Christians, they face a lot of persecution. And my family were one of those people who were followers of Jesus, and we were sharing our faith with others, and that resulted with lots of threatening letters that were posted on our door, giving us the option of stop telling people about Jesus, leave the village, or my family would be killed. I remember being the only follower of Jesus in my entire school, and that caused me to face a lot of bullying and rejection from the teachers and the students that went to the school with me. And I just remember how alone that felt, to not even have a friend my age that I can say they believe in Jesus that I can just share that life with. So this was one of the biggest challenges my family faced in the Middle East. And the second was severe poverty. My dad, he worked hard to provide for us, but it was still difficult to get school supplies, hygiene items, and even our daily food. Sometimes we had to eat just raw onion and bread because that's what we could provide. But my family were so big, and they believed in the power of prayer, and that was the only anchor that we had during persecution and poverty. So they encouraged me to pray for the things that we needed and the things that they could not afford for me. So that's what I did. I prayed.
Yeah, you prayed. I'm sorry to interrupt you. You prayed.
Yes, we did. We did.
How did the Lord Jesus reach you originally, Dania?
So after my parents gave birth to me and my brother living in my original country in the Middle East, they didn't know the Lord at that time. They actually had to leave to another country, and there they met a pastor who shared with them about Jesus, and their lives were changed. They gave their lives to Jesus, and they decided that they will teach their children about this this God who saved them, but also they wanted to go back to our home country and share the gospel there. And so this is how my parents came to know the Lord, and as a result of me watching my parents' faith, I also made a decision to follow Jesus.
So Dania received a box, and when I talk about that, I'd love to just hear you describe the moment when that happened, and I know you'd prayed for some specific items, and you guys, we can help with this. You can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC, Operation Christmas Child, and you can pick out the box, and you can fill it digitally. They will deliver it, and they will take care of this and get it into the hands of someone who, like Dania, needs this support. So you prayed for some specific items and praying to Jesus for these items. What happened when this box came and you looked and those items were in the box? And where were you? What was the day like? I mean, you have to remember that.
Yeah, I remember it very clearly. I remember because of our poverty, we prayed for many things. And for me, I brought to God in prayer toys because that was something that parents could not provide for me. But there was another specific item that we couldn't afford to buy. And that item was to have something as a radio to enable us to listen to a Christian radio station, because that was something that was very limited. Christian resources were very limited in the Middle East. So there was a station that broadcasted in our language Christian sermons and music for only 2 hours a day. And we desperately needed that. We could not afford it. being a family of prayer and trusting God, that was one of those needs. And as days went by, one very special day, we went to church gathering, and there was a team that brought Operation Christmas Child shoe boxes. They shared the gospel with everybody, and then they called the names of kids, and my name was one of them. Mm. You know, Todd, I was so excited. Like, can you imagine receiving your very first gift ever?
Wow. What a beautiful story. And you received the gift, and obviously people had to witness that. I mean, people saw you receive this gift. Did you share with your friends at church, did you share with them that this is what we prayed for? Our prayers have been answered.
So at that time, we had to take gifts and open them at home.
Okay.
A fear of things being lost. I know my mom told me that I had to wait and go home. However, of course, afterward, we told everybody how God answered our prayers. But inside my shoebox, as I opened it, there were school supplies, which I very much appreciated. There were hygiene items. I loved the toothbrush because now I don't have to share one with other members of my family. Mm. And I received beautiful toys like a Beanie Baby and a Slinky. That brought so much joy to my heart because my parents could not afford that for me. Mm. But the biggest surprise was finding another small box inside that shoebox gift. And when we opened it, we couldn't believe when we found that there was a mini, fully functional radio inside.
Praise God. We can all make an experience similar to this happen. We go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. I've gone to the website, and you get to put what you'd like in this box, and they'll take care of delivering this to one of these countries where it is very, very risky to speak the name of the Lord Jesus and to share the faith and to even whisper the name of the Lord Jesus. And you know there's dreams all over the Middle East. People are having dreams of the Lord Jesus and coming to Him. And Johnny, have you heard of this amazing act of God that's going on through the Middle East where people are having the dreams that the Lord Jesus appears to them and they seek out these Christian churches? Have you been tracking that?
I haven't been tracking it recently, but we actually go to a church that is Middle Eastern, and I have people there that have followed Jesus from different backgrounds, and that's their exact story. I mean, they share how Jesus appeared in dreams, how miraculous things happened to them because God reached them where they are, and He pierced through the darkness to bring them to Himself.
Do you think it is tempting, I think, in this time, we see, of course, the war in Gaza, we see the lost lives on both sides. I'm sad that we have to talk about sides, but we do. Did you ever give in to the idea that evil was winning, or were you always a person blessed with the faith of the Holy Spirit to see through the darkness, to see the light coming?
And I believe there's nothing a surprise to God. Things might seem very difficult, even when we're going through persecution. People may see darkness. They may sometimes it may seem unfair that these things are happening. But from my experience, even being in persecution, I could clearly see how God was changing so many hearts of stone into a heart of flesh. Stories upon stories of how God transformed lives, and even in times where it was difficult, God was still at work. And so I still believe, even when circumstances are hard and what's happening is difficult to hear and see, but we believe in a God who nothing is surprised to Him. Mm. And His heart is compassionate, and He sees those people just like He sees us here. So God is sovereign. And I know it's hard to see all of that, but nothing is a surprise to Him.
Beautifully said. Dania Andres is with us, and she received a Christmas box from Operation Christmas Child. And as you can see, it has helped change her life and propel her life as being a spokesperson for the Lord, an ambassador for Christ, as it were. And we're all called to be ambassadors for Christ. And Dania, you and I share something in common. Radio changed my life. Listening to radio with my dad and later being basically adopted into a family of beautiful Catholic Christians who brought the process about of bringing me to the Lord, actually brought me into the radio business. And so many of the things have been the result of that, being financially blessed and now getting to do a radio show for AFR and 184 stations and sharing the Word of God. So we share that in common. Talk about turning on that radio that was in your Christmas box, in that little box inside your shoebox. There's this radio. Talk about what it was like to hear Christian music in this country where that could get you in real trouble, hurt, if not even killed.
I remember waking up in the morning with my dad turning the Christian music in my language. And I had always been passionate about worshiping freely. We knew we didn't have that. And so the radio allowed me to listen to worship. And of course, that was just treasures that I stored in my heart, because years later, God brought me to this country where I can worship freely. And, you know, I look back into that moment and see how God gave me that glimpse of hope through that radio until I could finally come to a place where I can do that freely. So it's just so precious into my heart to see how God gave us that glimpses of hope in a form of an answered prayer.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've had dreams forever about doing radio. Even when I left the radio business, I was in technology. I would wake up with these dreams and some national radio host would be sick and I'd have to fill in. And all this, you know, many, many years later, I got the opportunity to fill in for Rush Limbaugh, God rest him, on all his huge network. At his death, just before his death, you know, he spent an hour sharing his testimony in the Lord Jesus. And so again, once again, over the radio, people who'd listened to Rush for years came to the Lord. It happened on that day, many, many people realizing that Rush was sharing his testimony in Christ with this great optimism, even as he faced death, this excitement, this optimism. You found a replica of the radio you got in that shoebox, didn't you?
I did. After coming to the U.S. and connecting with Operation Christmas Child, I just wanted to tell everybody the story, but I thought it'd be so cool if I can actually find a replica of that radio. And thanks to eBay, I found one that I, till this day, I take with me everywhere I share my story to show that little cute radio that was in my shoebox.
Oh, I would love to see a picture of that. And by the way, Operation Christmas Child, since 1993, has distributed over 209 million shoeboxes to children in over 170 countries. Before this show is over, you can go get one of these boxes. You can go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. You get to decide what goes in these boxes. Operation Christmas Child will take care of the deliver these boxes. And you have an opportunity to have someone experience the face of God, albeit through a box, in the Word of God, and as has happened to Danya, to hear the Word of God now on radio. I got to assume, because you're with Operation Christmas Child, you've actually been able to give people boxes.
Yes, I got the opportunity in 2018 to go to the country of the Philippines and actually be the one to hand out boxes to other children. And that was just so special to me, because I realized that I came full circle. And yet here I was starting the circle of this next child receiving the shoebox I'm handing to him. So yeah, God is in this, and he is at work and using all of these boxes to write the stories of children.
Yeah. And you, by the way, guys, this is the collection week for this. So by the end of this week, we want to have a bunch of boxes ready to go. I understand there's drop boxes as well that you could fill a box and drop it off if you like. There's also the digital option to do this. What do you want people to know who aren't yet with the Lord Jesus? Because we're a live radio show, 184 FM stations, people tune in and they tune out. They may have been drawn to your story because of the poverty and what you faced. And Danya, what do you say to people who do not yet know the Lord Jesus?
From a person who came from a part of the world where we risked everything. We were willing to risk our lives for the sake of Jesus because we knew that Jesus was worth it. There's this kind of peace that he gives, this kind of comfort. God is a personal God who knows us by name, who knows you by name. And so knowing him to us was worth anything we could ever get in this life, because he changes our lives. And so if you don't know Jesus, you know, Billy Graham said that, "I have never known a man who accepted Christ and ever regretted it." and I can testify to that because he is just so good. Your life completely changes because you have a God who is walking beside you every single day. Even when things get hard, he gives you peace and he gives you hope. Mm-hmm. And so, yes, if you haven't made that decision, I encourage you to pray for that. And this is also what's good about Operation Christmas Child is every shoebox given, the gospel being shared. Mm. And we actually have a discipleship program, Todd. This is going to blow your mind because this discipleship program started in 2009. And mm-hmm. since 2009, over 35 million children were enrolled. And out of that, over 17 million children accepted Christ and became followers of Jesus.
Oh, praise
and it
God.
All started from a shoebox kid. Amen.
Praise God. Praise God, and to bring people into the family of the Lord so that they're now part of the family of Christ. I don't know that there's a greater manifesting of our love for Jesus to do that. What do you feel in your heart when you speak those words, Danya?
Great Commission, coming into action. Just seeing how God gives us the opportunity on this side to use the freedom that he's given us to be able to reach those who are without freedom. To be able to use our resources to pack shoeboxes and send it to kids who maybe they're praying and wondering if God sees them or praying for an item that would be in the shoebox gift. So we get to be the answer of prayer to another child's hard desire. We get to link arms with God to fulfill the Great Commission.
What a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful statement. Go to SamaritansPurse.org/OCC. Pack your box today. Operation Christmas Child will take care of sending it. My sister in Christ, Danya Andreas, has been with us. This is Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. It's an honor, Danya. Jesus be with you. Todd Herman, this is the Disciples View. I so appreciate you. We are going to talk tomorrow about another beautiful occurrence. A woman has come to the Lord Jesus. She was raised Muslim, became an atheist, and now has come to Christianity and has been set around the offices at AFR. I know some of my colleagues and friends have talked about it, and praise God for this happening. Her name is Ayan Hirsi Ali. She's been a political commentator for many, many, many years. So number one line of business is to say, Sister Ali, welcome to the family of Christ. We are so, so relieved that you're here and so relieved that you're going to be with us and that God has a plan for you. He has pursued you through the time when you were, kind of forced to be a Muslim or you know, you were a kid. That was what you were to do. Through your travels as an atheist. And now I was so thrilled in reading your essay that you understand that you've got much to learn and that you said that you're going to learn much in church as you attend this past weekend. And sister, tomorrow I want to talk through your essay and some things I can't wait to read in the next version of it. Some paragraphs I believe you will write as you transcend this this academic decision you've made, this, and you express it this way. It's an idea. It's about saving Western civilization. I can't wait to read the follow-on paragraphs as you begin to walk with the Lord Jesus and as you begin to know him in a personal sense. And given the intellect he's gifted you to have, we're just so lucky to have you and we're so thrilled to have you in the family. So tomorrow, I'm going to do a long piece on that. We're also going to talk a bit about gratitude. And there's a great reason for this. It's not just Thanksgiving, but because the Lord is revealing so, so much. For instance, this. If you saw this, you'll have in your mind's eye the image of the 10 freeway in Los Angeles. Goes straight through the heart of downtown. Engulfed in flames, surrounded by flames. Flames higher than semi-trucks passing by. Burning under the freeway was stacks and stacks and stacks of wooden pallets stacked from the ground to the very bottom of the freeway, it looks to me to be 3 to 4 stories high, perhaps higher. Wooden pallets, which are what? It is dry wood with air pockets in between. It's a dream world for fires starting. What else was in there? Propane tanks stored under this freeway and something else. Human beings allowed to live under this freeway, which is state property. The firefighters who had to go put this out were dealing with at least 16 people living below the freeway in that inferno, people attempting to get the only things they owned out of there. Women dressed in, tight pants and tube tops. Why? Well, I think we know how they earn their living in what I call these sex trafficking camps. Now, of course, it's not to say that there's not a lot of effort to govern in California. For instance, they have painted the lifeguard towers on the beach into pride colors. The LA County Board of Supervisors has voted to fly the pride flag on all county buildings during June. They had the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, a group that hates Christianity and mocks the Lord Jesus on the Christ by turning the cross into a stripper pole. They had them come and meet with city leaders. Oh, by the way, there was that fire and Gavin Newsom, the dictator of California, went to the scene to pretend to care about that. He doesn't care about that. In fact, the dictator of the country of California cares more about the opinion of the dictator of China than his own separate country, which just saw this massive fire under the freeway where that homeless camp filled with wooden pallets was stacked high in the air and probably stolen propane tanks. He cared more about the dictator of China coming to town, as you'll hear in this audio piece.
It's noticeable how clear the streets look and how few homeless encampments there are on major thoroughfares.
Having been a longtime resident in the Bay Area, you just naturally start to wonder of like houseless folks being displaced.
Public Works is installing decorative crosswalks in North Beach and Chinatown, and the Webster Street Pedestrian Bridge in Japantown was recently repainted. The Yerba Buena Gardens at the Moscone Center are decked out with new colorful landscaping and murals, paid for by the Clean California Grant, just in time for the 20,000 high-profile CEOs and heads of state coming into town next week. Some people say this should be how it's always done.
What about the people who are here year-round, you know, and like local, hardworking, working-class Bay Area folks?
Others welcome the cleanup.
Anything that brings in a positive look on the city of San Francisco is great.
Just so we're clear, the report didn't mention two other people coming by. One is the figurehead leader of the United States, Joe Biden, who is probably partly owned by the Chinese Communist Party. The other is the dictator of China, Xi Jinping, who Joe Biden likes to brag about knowing so well. They're coming to town, so they had to clean things up. Now, just imagine. There's the voters of San Francisco. Even the hardcore progressive leftists have been demanding something be done. Nothing was done. But when the dictator China's coming by and Gavin Newsom is running a shadow campaign for president, because that's what Gavin Newsom is doing, of course, the cleanup happens. They did the same thing in the separate country of Washington when Xi visited there. They shut down the freeways. No, they actually shut down the freeways because you can't have the dictator of China caught in traffic. In times of universal deceit, telling the truth is an act of bravery. And, of course, God himself is truth. The people who live on the streets in these cities are merchandise. That's what they are. Every single body, physical presence, is money from the federal government. It is also congressional votes, congressional power for the Electoral College. Yeah, the illegal immigrants and others count towards those numbers. They're also destabilizing the cities, and we started this program talking about immigration as a way of destabilizing separate countries. Well, it's all part of that package. So how do we respond? We separate the policy from the people. We pray for those people on the street. And every time we get an opportunity to share the word of God with them, we do it. And every time we have an opportunity to give them something that's not drugs, every time, I say we take advantage of that so long as we can also share the word of God. So Gavin Newsom is one of the wise men of government, the best and the brightest. And here on Disciples View, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciples View presents...
Who doesn't love a yellow school bus?
Trans women are women, trans men are men, and non-binary people are non-binary.
If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money.
The Tower of Babbling.
Well, we just mentioned him. Now, again, he'll make a lot of appearances here. Our nation's figurehead, Joe Biden, tells Peter Doocy how he knows he'll be reinstalled as figurehead.
Why do you think it is that you're trailing Trump in all these swing state polls?
Because you don't read the polls. I'll forgive you. 10 polls. 8 of them, I'm beating him in those states. 8 of them. You guys only do 2. CNN and New York Times. Check it out. Check it out. We'll get you a copy of all those other polls.
I don't believe you're trailing.
Oh, I love the figurehead when he's angry and zippy. And it's actually interesting because there's those moments where he's alert. And I've read that dementia is far, far worse at night for people. That was my experience with my mom's second husband. He was that way. I don't make fun of dementia. I just make fun of the idea that we're supposed to pretend this is all very, very normal. John Kirby shows no signs of dementia. He is one of these spokesliars for the State Department, for the figurehead. And John Kirby, that spokesliar for the State Department, doesn't know what Iran intends to do when they shoot missiles at U.S. troops.
Do you believe that Iran has ramped up since October the 7th on these attacks on our bases? Do you believe that it's related to what happened on October 7th in Israel?
There have been a series of additional attacks. It's difficult to know exactly what the purpose is. We can't dismiss the possibility that some of these stepped up militia attacks are in response to our support for Israel.
Okay, well, let's start with the purpose of shooting missiles at people. It's to kill them. That is the purpose. And then just notice the crafty language of the very, very wise John Kirby. Militias. So they don't know the purpose, but they know they're militias. It's not the Iranian government. It's just militias doing this. But it's difficult to understand why. Why would you shoot a missile at a person? The big question I beg people with access to ask is, why are we funding both sides? Why are we paying Iran to shoot at us? 5 service members lost their lives on Veterans Day. And people like John Kirby and the people who run Joe Biden say it was in a training exercise. No, please, let's not say that. It was in a combat zone. We're at war. They just don't want us to think about that. Last story, the third in our 3 in this episode of The Tower Babbling. MSNBC featured a known, proven, inarguable crisis actor in their Gaza coverage.
The strike at Al-Shifa resulted from a projectile launched by a militant group inside Gaza that misfired. The sounds and footage we're about to show you from one activist on the ground at Al-Shifa. We want to warn you, it's graphic and disturbing. That man you saw, his hands covered in blood, says, quote, "We carried them with our hands. They bombed them inside the hospital. Oh God, please God, have mercy on us."
He's a actual crisis actor. I know that sometimes that accusation is made wildly and without substantiation, so I'll just tell you. At various times, he has worn a blue helmet as a UN-blessed press officer. He has been a soldier. He has been a doctor treating someone for gunshot wounds. He has been someone who suffered gunshot wounds. He's been a teen, simply walking through Gaza, just observing what's going on. And now he has been this guy with his hands. He's everywhere. And by the way, if you spend any time on social media looking at the response that people have to Gaza and monitoring what's going on, you would recognize his face. when I heard the sound clip, someone played me the sound clip. I said, wait, I know that guy. I know him. And they said, what do you mean you know him? I said, go back. Send me the link. And they sent me the link. I said, oh my gosh, it's this guy. MSNBC is punked, but they don't care. Because the point is not to tell the truth. The point is to be part of the mental division. And that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
Whoa! That is news.
On a Disciple's View.
What's the most grateful you've ever seen a person? And I ask this as just a little personal observation as we wrap up the show. I told you about buying a coat and some clothes for a gentleman who I helped, and he is a gentleman, by the way, who I helped reenter life after having been in prison. I had the honor of taking him to Ross Dress for Less and giving him this budget and seeing him in tears after he got the first new clothes in his life. He's my age. I'm in my mid-50s. I think by virtue of one step removed, I'll tell you a story that was very hard for me to hear. And I know this to be true because the organization for which I work, and this is a guy who runs it. It was only him who would take on the case of this particular convict. This particular convict, prisoner, released, had been a habitual abuser of children sexually. He said he changed in prison this last run, and he was in there a long time. And when he was released, they put him into a motel far away from homes, thank God. But he kept showing up at the probation office every day, checking in. And the officer kept coming out and saying, hey, you don't need to do this every day. I just want to make sure I don't miss probation. So he came every day. And eventually noticed that he had no shoes. The shoes he'd had out of prison were destroyed. He had nothing on his feet. Winter in Boise. This guy prayed about it on his knees. Can I possibly put this guy in my car? He did. He took him to a discount shoe store and bought him shoes. And in that man's truck, the former convict wept for over 2 hours. The first new pair of shoes he'd ever owned in his life. And he begged that man to help him not reoffend. And you know how that began? Well, by accepting the Lord Jesus. That man is in fact second in charge of our program. In the beginning, the Word was with God. The Word was God. We speak because we believe until God allows us to speak again on a Disciple's View. May God be with you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.